It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So that will save us.
I think it's 144. I think that's what we are, right?
From the wrath of Sir Guido. We already started, so you should be sure of that before we start.
But I'm not. I think it's 144.
Well, I hope you're right, or else we ruined everything.
Okay, go.
We'll call this one the war episode, and then we'll just start numbering afterward. You're laughing a lot, but I'm not even sure you get that joke.
I think it's funny.
Oh, no, see, you don't even get... You haven't seen the Doctor Who special, right?
No.
Yeah, see, you don't even get that joke. That's why
something
I like
people
you,
do.
You just laugh. All right, so, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world that already has our George Takei Memorial episode banked. He's not dead yet, but we're ready for when he is. It was very emotional, very sad. Because it's going to be very sad when that happens, but we're ready. Hopefully it'll be many, many years, George, before we have to use it. Many years.
Okay.
You were there.
I don't want to think about that happening.
I don't know, but that's why we got it out of the way. It's banked now. We don't ever have to talk about it again.
Right.
Until the day.
See, that would never work because George is still doing stuff. So, you know, if you did that and then, you know...
Well, no, we assumed what he was going to do next.
As we hope, it's a long, long time before happens to him. There's going to be all kinds of stuff he did that we won't have...
We've got his later guest appearances, his later films, his presidency, his short-lived time as Blade, the vampire hunter. We got all that listed already.
Okay.
You were there. I don't know what is going on.
I actually was not there. I'm never there. You do all this stuff without me all the time. You tell
I'm
me.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and I wasn't there. But I think it's episode 144, as we've already kind of discussed, I guess. I did look, but I don't know.
Without your eyes? You just felt the screen?
My memory's been even worse than usual. I haven't been getting a lot of sleep, actually, is what it comes down to. Very tired.
Me too, but I've been getting sleep. I'm just tired.
That's why you use the wrong word for things. When I'm talking to people, it happens a lot. Does that ever happen to you? Do you ever just use the absolute wrong word?
I've had moments of that. Usually it's more like wrong names.
When I get tired, I'll just use the total wrong word, and sometimes I'll catch myself and go, why did I use that word? Sometimes someone has to tell
me,
did you say this?
When I'm really tired, I will. And okay, people tell me, because I still have no memory of it. Like, it'll be like, they'll say, you said that. And I was like, really? That's not really, like, I don't remember doing it. But, well, the class, the really great one for me was I'm a kid. I don't know how old I was, 8 or 9, maybe. I was an older kid. But I was very sick. I had, like, the flu or something terrible. And I was hacking up and, you know, snotty and all that. And for some reason, I forget why, but my parents weren't going to be home one night. And I was young enough that that's not okay. So I stayed at the neighbor's house. But it wasn't, like, because my best friend lived next door. But, you know, we couldn't, like, play and crap because I was really sick. So I was just staying in a guest room over there. And in the middle of the night, I get up, go to the front door, and I'm trying to unlock the front door to go to my house, because in my mind I had forgotten my toothbrush, which I don't think I actually had forgotten. But my friend's mom wakes up and comes out and says, "What are you doing?" And I say, "I remember what I forgot, my sweater." And she led me back to bed. But I know I was thinking toothbrush.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you use a word that sounds like the right word, or it's a similar word in a different context.
Oh, no. For me, it's always a completely arbitrary and random switch.
No. For me, it's like, always...
Have you seen my bicycle? Did you mean sandwich? Yes, I meant sandwich.
No. For me, it's a word that's close enough in sound or context that the person could think that I just don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't think that's a memory issue. I think that's poor public school education.
No. Whenever I'm tired, it happens to me on a fairly frequent basis. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of times I'm pretty tired when I come here to do this podcast. So I'll be listening to the podcast and I'll say, "What did I say? Why did I say that?"
The fact of the matter is, you're basically never not tired because you don't drink caffeine.
Well, lately.
And you're always tired.
Not always, but a lot of times when I come here,
ever
I'm tired.
Ever since you left the farm.
And I'll say, I'll just use the wrong word.
Okay. So, for those of you who this is your first time listening, yeah, chew on that 5 minutes. But let me explain what we're all about. We have a hat. It's magical. It has its own email address. That email address is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You can email that address. In fact, you should. With comments, questions, topics, things like that. Short things, please, because the hat can get writer's cramp. And then the hat magically transmogrifies those things into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest within itself. We draw those cards out at random from the hat, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. We do that for about an hour. That's the show. So, good night. Next week, we're going to have to do two of them.
Yes.
Because of Christmas.
Yeah, technically, it'll air the 26th, but you know,
yes,
we
the
might,
day after. But I'll be driving home that day, and no, it's just going to be a pain. So we're going to do two next week.
You know what? Our show on January 8th
yes.
will be, from that point forward, it'll be a year to our 200th episode. Our 200th episode is going to be on...
How the hell can you do that math and remember that, and yet you can't remember what episode it is today?
Well, I don't know.
You got to prioritize your brain.
Our 200th episode is going to be in 2015.
15 on January 8th?
January 9th.
9th. Ah, okay. And what episode number is this?
I think it's 144. But I think that's how I know, actually, because, well, 200th episode... And minus, you know, I'm kind of extrapolating it. I think that's right.
A mufflerless car just.
What are we
going to
do
so.
For 200? I mean, that.
We've got time to figure it out.
A little over a year.
I'm hoping by then it'll be a different guy doing this with me.
Oh. Well, that's
but
what
there's
you
time.
Hoped. That's what you so hoped for 100 too, and
you
it didn't
can
happen.
You can still pull up your game in time for that.
Or die.
Also, that's what I meant by pull up your game.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely be a better podcast host when
dead.
I'm dead.
Podcast of the dead. I'll bet that's already a thing. Anyway, how was your week, William, besides tired?
That's good, I guess. You know, on the way over here, I was listening to the news, and I had a really odd experience. Apparently, Major League Baseball is thinking about... not allowing runners to have collisions with the catcher. You don't know enough about baseball to understand what I'm talking about, right?
I think I do, but only the catcher doesn't apply to the baseman?
Well, no. See, the thing is, it's a common play in baseball if you're running home from third, especially if you're forced to because there's a runner behind you on second.
Yeah.
If the play is being made at the plate, the catcher has the ball for you to kind of go for broke and run into the catcher. Because if the catcher falls down and drops the ball, you're safe.
Yeah.
So that's often done. But because of concussions and injuries and things, they're thinking of making them stop.
So baseball is worried about concussions.
Yeah.
But football...
Well, no, they're worried about it, too. They're worried about it, too.
They're worried about people being worried about it.
But it was a weird thing for me to listen to this report, and I thought, yeah, that's actually probably a good idea. Baseball has a long history of some... I mean, you know, you've got guys sliding into a plate with their cleats up so that they'll hurt the baseman and things like that, which you can't do anymore. So, you know...
Spitting acid.
Well... A lot of different things.
Setting catchers on fire.
That people used to do that they don't allow anymore. It's not like it destroyed the game or anything. And in fact, most people consider those things really poor sportsmanship now. And I suppose in a few years, that's what people will think of this. And they'll think, why did we ever just allow them to do that?
Well, at a certain point, it becomes cultural, though. Like, I think it would be tricky to get rid of fights in hockey.
Well,
a lot of people watch hockey for the fights. The fights are stupid. And hockey's kind of stupid, but some people, that's what they're there for. And actually, the way you recruit players is based around the concept that there are fights.
So what was weird to me about listening to this report and thinking, yeah, this is probably a good idea, thinking about the violent history of baseball and the things that have changed and everybody thought was a good idea after the fact, was I didn't play baseball very long in high school, but when I did, I ran... the catcher down and made him drop the ball so I could score. I did that.
You're kind of an asshole. So
well, but that made me think of all the other things I did. When I was...
Used to put your cleats up and...
No, I didn't have cleats.
You used to spit acid?
No, but I did knock the catcher down so that he dropped the ball and I could score. Also, when I was in football...
Kidnap his loved ones before the game.
When I was in football, I...
Jesus, how many sports did you play?
Well, everything that we offered except wrestling, I didn't wrestle.
Dang.
Although a couple of wrestlers challenged me, you know, just because, you know, they thought I was a basketball player and there was sort of a rivalry between the basketball players and the wrestlers.
Okay.
And so they thought, you know, I wouldn't know anything about wrestling and that they could beat me easily. But they didn't. But mostly because they were a lot shorter than me. And I have really long legs. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
Yeah. See, here's the problem. One time... I fool around wrestled with a freshman who was also in the same theater production I was, and he was on the wrestling team, and he was like 2'1", weighed like 5 pounds. He totally pinned me.
Well.
And I was this big then, so.
Yeah, somehow I was able to use my height as an advantage, and they kept telling me that I should join the wrestling team, but I wasn't interested in that. But when I played football, I only played one season in junior high, and... have I talked about this before?
No, we have never talked about sports on this podcast. Kind of making me nauseated.
I was a defensive end, and somehow I could always get by the person who was supposed to be guarding me and head right for the quarterback. I don't know what I did or how I did that, but it didn't matter what team we were playing. Whoever was supposed to keep me from running to the quarterback could never do it. I don't know why that was. But I could always
smelled. They did not want to get too close.
I could always go right through them, and I could go right to the quarterback. The problem was, I ran so slowly, I never got to the quarterback. And I mean, I always tackled the quarterback, always, always, always. But I was always just too late to actually sack the quarterback so that he didn't pass the ball or hand the ball off to somebody else. And the coach would always tell me, "You need to run faster." I said, "I'm running as fast as I can." I think it was the pads were too heavy for me or something.
And eventually he said, "Billy," because that was the thing back then, "you've literally been doing the same thing for 3 years, and it's completely useless to us. Get off the field."
No, I mean, I only did it for 1 year, and I realized, for whatever reason, I couldn't run fast enough in the pads. I could get past the guy who was supposed to stop me, and I could tackle the quarterback no problem, but I always was just a little bit too late. I think my coach thought, man, if he was just a little bit faster, he would be tackling this guy every single play. And I would have been.
Cocaine would have helped.
So
meth. They didn't have meth around back then. That
so
would have been awesome.
I did play basketball, and I was really aggressive in basketball. I mean, I fouled out. I knocked guys over. I ripped the ball out of guys' hands. There was one game where...
Did you throw chairs?
No, but, I mean, I was pretty mean. I mean, it's hard to imagine, because, you know, most people thought of me as a pretty mild-mannered guy even back then, but...
No, but, you're a terrible bastard.
But when I played basketball,
I can see it. I can understand it.
There was one game where we were behind by several points because they had this really tall guy on their team.
On a basketball team?
Yeah. I mean, really tall, taller than everybody else, but not that much taller than me. But see, I wasn't a very good scorer. This gives you an idea what kind of basketball player I was. There was one game where during one play, I had 5 offensive rebounds. And that's pretty good because, you know, when I could keep everybody on the opposing team away from the hoop and get 5 rebounds, that's great. The problem with it was, though, I was the one who put up all 5 of those shots.
As soon as you said it, I was just picturing you just bouncing the ball off the backboard.
That's what I did. I did finally make it, but that's pretty impressive, really. I mean, put up the ball, get your own rebound 5 times.
At a certain point, do you get assists to yourself?
I don't know. But what that event tells you is that I was a very good defensive player, but a horrible offensive player. So, and back then, these were the days before Dennis Rodman, so nobody appreciated a good defensive player yet.
Or bright green hair.
So I was sitting on the bench, and the coach finally said, "Bill, go in and stop that guy." And I did. He didn't score at all in the, I don't know, I was in for 2 quarters.
Broke his nose, but
he
didn't score.
I'm surprised I didn't foul out, but by the time I left, we were way ahead. We won the game. I mean, he took me out before the fourth quarter because we were so far ahead. But that's about the only great thing I did as a basketball player. And I think I played basketball for 3 years in high school. But I was really, when I played sports, I was not nice. It's kind of strange to think about it. And that's what I mean by I had a weird experience. So I'm listening to this report and I'm thinking, yeah, they shouldn't do that. That's terrible. But I'm remembering, yeah, but when you played sports, you were always doing that kind of stuff to people. Like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. Maybe that's why I stopped playing sports.
If you listen very closely, I understand this isn't actually live, but if you listen closely, you can hear the snores of all our future listeners.
Anyway, why don't you go ahead and talk about your week? I don't know why you even asked me how my week is, because all I have to say is stuff like this.
It's 10-minute stories about sports.
But
about how evil you are as a sports player?
Well, I don't... What I'm saying is that it was an odd experience I had in the car, and it's kind of still with me. I'm still processing it. Like, you know, I'm remembering these things about myself that I'd forgotten.
Mm-hmm. One of these days, you're going to erupt with a really fast.
Well, doesn't that happen to you? Don't you remember something that you did or said and think to yourself, wow, that seems like I was a whole different person back then.
A lot, actually. The major distinction is it never has anything to do with sports.
Well, but whatever it has to do with, sometimes it kind of takes you off guard and it feels weird.
Last night, the producer and I had some really fascinating conversations at dinner. We started somehow talking about what we used to eat for dinner, like as kids, like what the common meals were. And it got into this whole thing about like both our childhood experiences and stuff, and it was really interesting. And stuff that I like hadn't thought about in a really long time. And it was pretty cool.
Well, you know, another thing happened this week. This happens to me all the time.
You realize all that other stuff didn't happen this week. That was when you were in high school.
Well, it happened before I got here, but when I, you know, when you go by a city bus or a charter bus and it has a really awful exhaust smell,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes.
I feel really nostalgic when I smell that because when I was younger, we took a few trips on buses. You know, so
as kids are wont to do.
Well, no, with my mom and my grandma or whatever. But,
like Greyhound cross country kind of things.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, all of my fond memories of that trip are not all of them, but many of them are caught up in that smell. And even though, you know, on many levels I hate it, it smells terrible to me, and I think of how dirty it is and bad for the environment and everything else, I can't help but feel nostalgic. Like, that was a good memory. Like most people probably feel when they smell a particular food and they remember, oh, my mom made that or whatever. I get a similar feeling from bus fumes.
From back in the day when you could pollute without care.
I think that's bizarre. But anyway.
No, they say the strongest sense memories are smells.
No, I think that's true. I think that's absolutely true.
I still get weirded out by Aqua Velva Ice Blue and immediately have this huge wave of sense of my father.
Well, if...
Because he wore that, and it was a tradition. He would put it on after he shaved. And you knew, because he used the electric shaver, so you could hear when he was done. And then you run into their room, and he was using it, and he would take a little dab and put it on your nose. And so then you'd smell Aqua Velva Ice Blue for a really long time.
My dad used a Vitalis.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't... Did he even make that anymore?
I don't know. There was... My dad went through a Dracar Noir phase. But that was really his special occasion aftershave. But his standard was Aqua Velva Ice Blue,
yeah.
Which is potent stuff, let me tell you.
I mean, what is Vitalis an aftershave or is it a hair treatment or something?
Dessert topping, I don't even know.
I don't even remember what it is, but that's the only smell that I can associate with my father, you know, Vitalis. And my mom and my grandma...
Oh, I got two. I have Aqua Velva Ice Blue and terrible, terrible flatulence.
My mom and my grandma, I think... My dad's mom both, I think, used Chantilly lace or something that smelled like it, which was kind of a rose.
My
smelling.
Mom did the Jean Nate body wash, like all good people out of the 70s that didn't know when the 80s arrived. And Shalimar. Shalimar was her scent, and that was hard to come by eventually because that was kind of expensive. And Aquanet. A lot of Aquanet.
Okay, talk about your week before we run out of time. Because I know you've got a lot to talk about. You're going to be mad that I talked about all this stuff.
Not a lot happened this week.
You played your game, probably. I bet you got a lot of stuff to talk about.
We had the first session of our new campaign. Finally. It was pretty good. Everybody's still naked.
Naked?
Yes.
What do you mean?
They all woke up naked and completely hairless, like not even any eyelashes.
Mm-hmm.
On a table.
Why?
Because they don't know why. But you'll remember they were all cryogenically frozen.
Well, right. And that happens?
Apparently.
Yeah, they probably didn't have clothes on when they were frozen.
Yeah, it's like Matrix shit, you know? Remember how they took him out and he looked so terrible?
It's yes, that kind of deal. Yes.
We didn't have tubes stuck in them. They do have barcodes on the back of their heads and they don't know what that's about. A couple of them didn't know they were getting frozen.
Mm.
And it's already being really interesting in that there are references to play. Like somebody mentioned a city that they're in. Two of them have never heard of this city, even though it was quite famous. One of them knows it and is thankful that they're there, and another one knows it and is terrified that they're there. One of them now believes that he's on Earth and he's never been on Earth before, and another one didn't know it was possible to have never been on Earth, and so she's very confused by this, and nobody speaks the same language.
Well, then how are they communicating?
At all, because one person speaks a whole lot of languages, and they're basically all communicating through her.
And they're all naked.
And all but one of them is women. So they're calling it the harem game because there's just one male character. But what's hilarious is two of the female characters self-described as pretty well-built, pretty good-looking. And one, very much not so, and a little older and, like, very plain-looking and worn and so forth, but also has cybernetic implants that are visible. And because of who the male character is, and he's way more into this cyborg woman that he's found than either of the hot naked chicks over there.
Uh-huh.
He's very fascinated by the cyborg. That was what happened. He was the first one to wake up, and we described everybody, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm poking the one with the metal sticking out of her. I want to see what's going on. But then, unfortunately, they don't speak the same language. There's technically a fifth person that I'm running at the moment, but he doesn't say much. And so far, they have successfully found three things.
And none of those things are clothing.
Technically, one of them is a riot helmet. They gave it to the little Chinese dude that's with them, the fifth guy.
So there's two men, then.
Yeah, that's. I told you, there's a fifth person going, and it's him. But of the players, and originally they didn't know that I was going to do that.
Oh.
When they started making the harem jokes. And like I said, he doesn't say much, so they frequently sort of forget he's there. They found a helmet.
Why'd they give it to him?
I'm not really sure. I think they thought it would look good on him. I don't really know. It's not a useful thing at this point. The gun is useful. Somebody definitely claimed that. And then what appears to be a fairly high-tech grenade that, like, nobody's willing to deal with. They're all just kind of scared of it, for good reason.
Finding clothes is a low priority?
No, that was the first thing. They're being led around by somebody through a headset.
A headset?
Yes.
Who's wearing the headset?
They've been trading it around a little bit.
You didn't mention the headset.
No.
Why didn't you list that among our assets to begin with?
Because they didn't so much find that. It was just there.
Okay.
That's being traded between two people who kind of speak the language that the person on the headset speaks. One of them better than others. So I always had to switch. When one of them was talking, I could speak in more complete sentences than when the other one was on there. But they were asking for a whole bunch of stuff, and the person on the headset is telling them they're in danger and they need to get out of there. But,
well, where are they going to go?
The first thing they finally ended up asking for was a shower, because they were all covered in the dried remnants of what was some sort of, like, goo or fluid that must have been in the tanks, and they all thought that was gross, so they wanted a shower first. And then they asked for weapons and clothes, and they got weapons in the form of one pistol, a riot helmet, and one grenade.
Are you going to give them any clothes?
I don't know. I think
you're enjoying too much that they're all naked.
I told them I'm thinking about just naked campaign, but the person in the headset has said that the next place is to go get suits. So hopefully that will work.
Yeah, hopefully.
But it's pretty fun so far. They're having a lot of fun being really confused.
What else is going on? To watch a movie. You watched a movie, right?
I didn't, actually.
No movies?
No, last night we watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because we spent so long talking at dinner that when we came home we didn't have time to watch a movie.
I haven't seen the latest.
Well, it's the finale till January.
Well, I've seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I haven't seen the latest.
Dracula?
No, I think I've seen the latest Dracula.
Me too.
I haven't seen the latest Sleepy Hollow.
Me neither. I might actually be a couple Sleepy Hollows behind. Yeah, we're behind on a fair bit of stuff. We haven't been watching a lot of TV. I've been playing a lot of Dragon Age 2.
Oh, yeah, we're playing, I forgot to mention, we're playing Diablo 3.
Ooh.
Decided, you know, after we talked about it on the podcast, I went home and I did some research trying to remember what it was that the PS4 version was going to have that we were going to wait for. And I couldn't figure out what it was, so I decided that I was just full of baloney, and that there was no real reason for us not to get it, as far as I could tell. And I talked to the other people in the household, and they agreed that there was nothing that the PS4 version was going to have that they cared about. And we wanted to play a game we all three of us could play together, so we've got it at home. We've been playing it.
How's it going?
Well, it's I wouldn't out of 10, with 10 being the highest, I wouldn't give it a 10.
All right,
but. And that's kind of disappointing.
That leaves 9 other numbers.
Because I was hoping that it would be a 10. But I would give it an 8. That's pretty good.
You wouldn't give it a 9 either.
No, not a 9 either. Right. Well, although it could still get a 9, depending on how it goes. But I would give it an 8. Which is good.
That is very good.
I'll tell you, there are things about it. What's that one game for the PS3 that I think you guys played it and we tried to play it, but we didn't like it. It's got angels and stuff in it too. It's
Sacred 2.
Yes. We didn't like that. And there are some things
we didn't particularly like that either.
Okay. Well, there are some things about Diablo 3 that are kind of like that game.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. Sacred is definitely a Diablo clone.
Yeah. And we don't like those things.
Diablo was the start of that kind of stuff.
But there are a lot of things about it that are similar to the old PS2 Baldur's Gate and Champions of Norrath,
yes.
And we do like that. So, and it's that part that part of it is so good and so fun that
we liked those a lot.
Yeah, we can overlook the Sacred 2 stuff that we don't like.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not too much like Sacred 2. It's just every once in a while a Sacred 2-ish kind of thing will happen, and you'll be like, "Ah, that's no fun." Well, like dialogue, for example. The great thing about Baldur's Gate and Champions of Norrath is when you talk to someone, the camera would like zoom into them and you would see them and they had a really kind of a cool animation and you could interact with them. You could choose your response and stuff.
Yeah.
In these games, like with Sacred 2, it's not really like that. You go up to someone, the camera's still far away.
Just dialogue
little dialogue boxes. You don't really have very many choices and that's not as fun, but
Do your characters say something pithy when they have no room to pick up the inventory you want them to pick up?
No.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. Still do it now. when one of us is playing a game and there's no inventory, I'll still go, my pack's full, which is what, like, the wood elf in Champions of Norrath used to say. She used to just whine.
Oh, I don't...
My pack's full.
I don't remember that. So, yeah, it's just fun to be able... I mean, we haven't played a co-op game for a long time. I mean,
Portal 2. You should get your hands on Dungeon Siege 3. Or did you already play Dungeon Siege
3? Well, we talked about it, but...
I can't lend it to you because it's the wrong console.
I wasn't sure. I mean, I wasn't sure it would be any good. But you're...
We liked it. We played it.
Yeah. Maybe we should still get that. I don't know, but...
We like any of the hack and slash co-ops. We've even played stupid ones like Dungeon Hunter Alliance.
Right, but...
I guess we gave up on Daggerdale.
But we thought that we would just like anything we could cooperatively play on, yeah. Like that. But like Sacred 2, we just could not get into it.
We got a little done with it. I mean, we didn't finish that. I finished a single-player campaign in that, but that game was built a little too much like an MMO that wasn't an MMO. it didn't have a lot of direction to it and stuff.
Didn't like it, but we're liking Diablo 3. And it seems like there was something else. No, I don't know. But I keep interrupting your week with stupid things.
I haven't really got much else going on in my week.
Oh, something else I wanted to say, though. Because I keep forgetting. Have you ever watched the show Damages?
No, but the producer did. The producer watched the first 3 seasons, because that's when it moved to Stars, and we didn't have Stars anymore.
The first 3 seasons are excellent.
Mm.
It's really a great show. But something happens in the 4th season that changes fairly dramatically in its format and everything else. Now, you're telling me it actually moved to another network?
Yes, 4th and 5th season. The show basically got canceled.
Oh, it did?
And then Stars picked it up.
Oh.
Similar thing happened with Torchwood.
And is it still going on Stars?
I don't believe so. I believe it only had 5 seasons, but I don't really know. I didn't pay real close attention.
Well, it's a fairly dramatically different show in the 4th season. So much so that, I mean, we were watching it in the first 3 seasons. We couldn't stop watching it. We just had to watch it. And then, like, the very first show of the 4th season, so different. And even after the first show, we were talking to each other saying, I don't know if we're going to keep watching this. And we haven't. I mean, we've watched a few other shows just to see where it would go. But it's like a completely different show.
It was another one of those no-sympathy shows for me. I didn't like anyone.
That's what I told everybody. I said, I want to talk to Tony about this show, but I bet I know what he's going to say.
No.
He's going to say there's no likable characters in this, and so he couldn't keep watching it.
Yeah, because I think I maybe watched the first episode or whatever. I was in the room when Trish would watch episodes. But it's funny, because that's interesting... than that I enjoy and am growing in my enjoyment of Blacklist. Because there's nobody there. But I do kind of, I mean, I guess I like James Bader's character. I mean, he's evil and stuff, but I just love him. seriously, I can watch James Bader chew scenery forever, which is basically what you do with Blacklist. If you watch Blacklist, you're just watching James Bader chew scenery for an hour. And I'm fine with that. Like, if they had this much fairy back version of Rumpelstiltskin in Once Upon a Time, I would be... If it was just constantly the fairy back version of Rumpelstiltskin, and he was like the main character on the show, I would be the number one fan of Once Upon a Time.
I have to admit, I do like his... everything he does, actually. Not just the fairy back stuff. The other stuff, he's pretty good, too.
He's good, too, but it's not nearly as compelling to me.
No, I get it.
He does a good job, but it's a very sort of sedate character and nuanced. Rumpelstiltskin, holy shit. The dude, he minces. If you ever see an interview with Robert Carlyle, he is a hard man from Glasgow. Like, seriously, half of his interview with Craig Ferguson that I saw one time was him non-ironically, non-jokingly telling Craig Ferguson, like, what a pansy ass he was. Like, if you ever saw Trainspotting, that character is way more what he's like than most of his other stuff. And to see him in green body paint and glitter prancing about and giggling is amazing. Oh my god.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
He's so hilariously evil.
Too bad that show is so horrible.
Yes. Dracula still has me at the moment.
Oh, the last episode of Dracula was very silly.
Yes.
I mean, over the top silly.
Oh my God.
So is this what people see in every single episode? And
this is what I see, except here's the thing.
Because I haven't felt like the episodes were like this.
There's a scene
this last episode
in Dracula, no spoilers, but I will say it is a two-person scene only that involves Lucy Westenra and the woman, I don't even remember her name because she's constantly to me Dragon Lady or Boobs McGee, but that woman, just the two of them having tea that I swear to fucking Christ was written by, like, somebody. There was a contest where you got to send in erotic fan fiction. Like, that scene, just immediately, I'm like, I know the website where this story was written. Like, literally. It was hilariously, like, puerile and cliched, and oh my God, it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was only, like, 3 minutes long. It was more amazing than the time that he turned on Boobs McGee with Victorian mud wrestling. It was more amazing than that.
Yeah, that was the whole mud wrestling thing was weird. But other than that scene and this last episode, I wasn't sure what you meant when you were talking about it being silly, because it didn't, I mean, it seemed not always very well written, but I wouldn't have called it silly. But
oh,
this must be what you're seeing through the whole run.
Yeah.
I wonder why I didn't see that.
Still not particularly liking Almost Human either, by the way. I'm still sticking with it. That episode that you really liked, better, but...
Well, we're caught up on that show, too, and I thought...
I don't think I am.
Oh, well, I didn't like the last episode.
Oh, great.
I don't even know if we're going to keep watching.
Yeah, I'm trying to hold on. I feel like I owe it something, but... It's rough.
It's rough. It's hard. I don't know.
They got to get their footing, goddammit.
They're
just kind of all over the map.
They are, kind of. And
but Dracula is not being boring, and I'm very happy about that. Holy shit.
We'll probably keep watching it.
But if anything actually interesting ever happens on Dracula, it's a dream sequence, just so you know. Seriously. Like, we are having, like, Zach Morris on Saved by the Bell levels of shit happens, and then no, just kidding. Like, Jesus. It's hilarious.
It must have just been going over my head the first several episodes or something. But the last episode was
pretty
similar.
It all fell into place, and you're like, oh.
Now I get it.
That's stupid.
Well, you know, I am like that with a lot of shows. Like, you know, we liked Supernatural at least the first 6 or 7 seasons, but when I first saw the first few episodes, didn't like them. But then the kids liked them, and then when I watched them with them and I could understand what they liked about them, I realized, oh yeah, and I kind of got it. I just don't think I got it before. And Damages, we saw the first episode and then, well, we don't want to watch this because like you,
yeah,
these characters are all deplorable characters. But then we started getting in, you know, forgetting about the characters and getting into the actual writing that some of it's really good, and so we just sort of appreciated it.
Don't get me wrong, I think Damages is an excellent show.
That's very well written.
It just wasn't for me.
And well acted, yeah. But if the main reason you watch shows is because you want to relate to and like the characters, that you are not going to like that show.
I just need some sort of sympathy. I have to care.
Yeah, I know.
Like, if everybody's bad, and I mean, I don't even have to like necessary, but if everybody's the point, like, the next episode could literally be a tactical nuclear strike and every character explodes, and I'll be like, eh.
Yeah.
Then it's not a good sign.
Yeah.
But I will say this, William, about Dracula and your confusion. You're not the first woman to have that failing. You're the first huntsman, but not the first woman.
What did that even mean?
I know! It was the most gratuitously asshole statement ever. I was like, you're being a dick and not even making a point with it. Like,
Yeah, I don't know.
It was amazing. Oh, seriously, I love that show for its shittiness.
I did, there was a scene related to that. It's kind of the climactic scene, I guess you could say, that I really appreciated. that I won't talk about. But I thought it was a pretty cool scene.
No. Gentlemen, I'll make this short. Oh, will you? The whole thing had such a just, like, bit sketch feel to it. And that was the thing, too. I was like, is there any suspense here? Do we not know what's going to happen? By the way, if my voice sounds a little muffled and feline, it's because Ezzy's in between me and the mic.
You're not going to be surprised by this show. But
they tried so hard to make that all very tense, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, no, not tense.
No, you totally can get surprised by that show, and then you find out it was a dream sequence. The episode before had that, which they even showed in the trailer for the episode, and I said at the time, I'm like, that's going to be a dream. I seriously did, and it seriously was.
Because it's too interesting.
I was like, they do not have the balls. And they did not. If they had, I suddenly would have switched to non-ironically watching this show.
Yeah, yeah.
But no. Anyway. Hat. I'm just impressed that Dracula keeps his accent straight so well. Like, literally, he's about to go into a room where he has to be American, and he feels the need to speak British to his friend before he goes. I'm like, dude, you're going to slip if you do that. But that would be such a... Can you imagine if that was the plot point? Dracula gets caught because he slips into his British accent on accident? That would be awesome if that was the plot point.
I really like the accent that actor's using. I mean, I realize he sounds like...
It's Christian Slater.
Christian Slater. I mean, he sounds just like Christian Slater.
It's a very polarizing accent.
But I like it.
I just had a conversation with somebody who hates it.
Really?
Really a lot.
I like it a lot. I remember that's one of the things that I liked about the very first, you know, show. He had that sort of British accent. Because, you know, he's Irish is what he is. The actor is.
Everything I've seen him in before this, he sounds exactly like he sounds when he's doing British Dracula.
Well, in that one film he was in, gosh, what's it called? God, I don't remember. Anyway, he was in a film where he's an American, but... Now, I can't talk about the film without giving stuff away, but all of the accents he uses in that movie is really good. I mean, you can't... I don't know. If he'd started the show... If I didn't know any better and he started the show just talking like he talks as American Dracula...
You'd be like, Christian Slater's had some work done.
Maybe, but I'd still think he was an American. It's really good. He's actually pretty good at
And then Renfield accents. Says, shut up, Heather. All right.
Dear William and Tony.
That's us.
Yeah, but hardly anyone ever says that, especially not Mark McKibben.
That is true. He doesn't know our names.
If people were to request that their questions to be read with a specific accent... Wow, how ironic. Would you be willing to do so?
I don't think that was ironic, actually. I think that was poor use of the word.
You're right. Coincidental.
Yes. What a twist.
I guess, sure. I mean, if...
Wait. Do the question again. The wording here, I think, is very important.
If people were to request that their questions to be read... Oh, no. If people... Now you're confusing me.
Jeez.
It's just asking if, when they submit a question, if they want it to be read in a particular accent...
If they did that, what?
Would we do it?
Is he asking if we'd do it, or would we mind if they asked? Or,
would you be willing to do so?
Oh, okay. If you ask for a question to be read in a specific accent, I am willing to read said question in a specific accent. I make no guarantees that the two specific accents will be the same.
Oh, so if they say, I want you to read it with a Spanish accent... You might read it with an accent, but it might not be Spanish?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
By definition, I will read it with an accent. Anyway.
I'm willing to try the accent that you've asked for, but I might not know how to do it, or I might just not be very good at it.
It might come out really racist. You should hear him try and do certain accents.
You know what? That's a good point. I reserve the right to not do it, depending on what you're asking me to do, because I don't want to... Be accused of
please recite this question as a black character from a 1940s comic book.
Yeah, no, not going to do it.
So what we're saying is, fuck you. Wait, that wasn't it.
No.
That's my go-to when Mark writes it.
It's a yes or no question, then the answer is mostly yes.
It is possible that we would ask, that we would do an accent, but it might not be the one you asked for, per se. What you should have done was do that question in an accent.
Well, here's the thing.
Do you even do accents? I've never heard you do an accent in my life.
I did chocolate. Chocolate had an accent. Oh,
I did chocolate.
I don't know
that's
what...
That's terrible.
I don't know what that was. I don't know what his accent was. I say he's a cross between Antonio Banderas and Pepe Le Pew. That's
a chocolate bar.
That's what I say, but...
Antonio Le Pew. See, I was going to start with a base of Ricardo Montalban.
Well, maybe.
The chocolate says, taste this rich Corinthian leather.
When I was younger, and, you know, my friend Chris and I would record music, but sometimes we'd just improvise, like, little radio play-like things, and I did accents with that all the time. But I don't think they were very good ones, but I did. So
I try and do a lot of accents in my GMing to help differentiate characters.
Oh.
And especially in this one, it's sci-fi, I'm going to probably do that. And the accents won't necessarily correspond to actual ethnicities. It'll literally just be ways to differentiate characters.
Now, if they were to ask to do, like, English or, you know, British accents from different regions, I don't think I could.
I don't think our people are cool enough to even.
First of all, I don't know if I'd know them, but even if I did, I don't think I can.
I could get some, but not well enough to do it.
I don't think I can do, say, Irish or Scottish very well without them both starting to sound like each other. That's always embarrassing.
Irish is easy. Just go back to Lucky Charms. Oh. I can do Welsh, as I've established many times before.
Don't do it.
I can totally do a Welsh
no,
accent.
No, you can't. He's lying.
It's good accent.
Stu
hasn't listened in so fucking long. He's got 3 kids now. One of them still breastfeeding, which for a Welshman is very difficult to do.
I mean, I used to be able to do like a generic British accent and a French and a German. And
I used to be able to do Cockney and
Italian
proper received pronunciation British because of the plays I was in.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of
Russian.
I can kind of fake French. Most of my European accents eventually just slip into Spanish. I don't know why exactly.
Let's see. And I, for a while, I could do like a Brooklyn or Bronx.
Russian is not particularly tough.
And Boston.
When you get used to it. It's kind of like doing
and a New England
Tracy Morgan.
Sort of. And
if you get down like this, you could do Tracy Morgan.
And like. A couple different dialects of southern United States, but like I could do Texas, or I could do Florida, or I could do Tennessee, but now I don't remember any of the differences.
Wow. Fancy.
Yeah, I made quite a study of it when I was really young, but I mean, I don't remember any of it, because I haven't done it for so long.
No, just recently I was listening to an interview with John DiMaggio, who... For those of you who don't know, he's the voice of Bender on Futurama, and also the voice of the Joker in a lot of Batman animated things, and also the voice of Walker from Final Fantasy X, so think about that, mind blown. And he talked about how you do Tracy Morgan impression, which is basically... You just gotta pull your chin down real tight against your
which
your
is chest, what he's doing.
Which is what I do. And then you talk like Tracy Morgan. Your move, NAACP.
Oh,
I would like to apologize to most
he doesn't
of
mean it.
Humanity.
He doesn't mean it.
No, there's a little shame that time, but
okay,
just a little bit. Just you know, a little bit of shame.
In Orange is the New Black, Kate Mulgrew.
Siri, kill Jenna Elfman.
Orange is the New Black. Kate Mulgrew plays a Russian, and it's pretty impressive. Pretty cool. The person who made the show was not that excited about Kate Mulgrew being in it to play the Russian. She wanted, like, a real Russian.
But, yeah.
But when Kate showed up and did such a convincing Russian accent, she changed her tune.
Kate Mulgrew's in Dragon Age 2.
Yes, and in Dragon Age 1 also.
Yes.
She's even better in Dragon Age 2. She's got more of a part in it, and I like that.
Yeah. And the character is cooler looking.
Well, that's kind of true.
They really did some cool shit with her there. I like, too, she's like, I would just turn into a dragon. You could never be a dragon. It's such weird dialogue. She's talking about something. You could just change into a dragon like me. You could never be a dragon. I was like...
Yeah, she's great.
You kind of killed your own joke.
She's great.
Yeah, she does well there. All right, let's do another question. If Tracy Morgan was drawn out of the hat, I think it would go a little something like that. No, I'm not going to do that. Don't worry. Here we go. Holy. This looks old. It does. Look at it. It's all
yeah,
weathered.
It does. Looks like it's been in the hat for a long time.
And it's anonymous, apparently, or somebody just didn't put their name down. Dear Hat. Not you, Ezzy. Ezzy's here. You want to read it?
She's been here for most of the podcast, but she's been curiously silent.
You gotta. What do you mean curiously silent? She's usually silent.
I know. I just was being dramatic.
Dear Hat, how old are you?
That's it.
In parentheses, the hat. So we're not allowed to talk about our ages.
Oh. Well, the hat can't talk, so.
How old do you think the hat is?
Well, I told you I had that theory. That
you've had several theories.
Yeah, that's
They're
true.
They're very UFO-esque. Ooh.
Well, based on my most recent theory, it would have to be, 3,000 years old.
Somebody brought up something interesting recently that I want to bring up right now, but I think they were going to write it into the hat. So I probably shouldn't.
Okay, don't then.
Oh, it's too bad, though. It would make great conversation.
Well, how old do you think the hat is? Going on 3 years, huh?
Pretty much. I assume the hat is a manifestation of judgment against my sins. So.
Well, so it...
I assume...
But did it judge someone else before you, or
does it just
exist for
In
you?
In my mind, like when I was born... This little tiny, like Monopoly game sized hat manifested, and then over time it has grown with my own faults and terribleness
and
into the creation that was.
How old
us.
Was that little pewter hat? Was like it a new Monopoly game?
Yeah, no, it manifested right then, poof, into existence.
Oh,
so basically the hat is exactly as old as I am, which means it's going to turn 37 in January.
It's attached to you in some. Supernatural
That's how
I've
way. Always assumed, because I assume everything is attached to me in some supernatural way.
Oh, I see. Where do I enter into it?
Goes to sleep when I close my eyes. What?
Where do I enter into it?
You are also attached to me in some supernatural way.
But not that.
Well, by extension.
Great.
They say everyone, basically, at one end of the spectrum is the hat.
Mm-hmm.
At the other end of the spectrum is Kevin Bacon. Standing in the middle is me. And everyone else is just along there someplace.
I see. I'm somewhere between you and the hat.
Yes, you're not on the Kevin Bacon side. You have to be a movie star to be on that side.
Oh, okay. I get it.
The following is still going on. Apparently it's really bad now. I mean,
yeah, I
more
know.
So. For me, I think I pretty much started off terrible. The producer was asking if I believe in original sin. I believe I am the original Sid. Right here. I just popped out munching on an apple.
Right.
Is that your ride? Do you have to go?
You always ask that question when there's sirens.
It's an old Kevin Pollak joke from his chat show.
Okay.
Pretty much everything I do on this is stolen from other podcasts.
Well, that's good, I guess. I mean, it's been tested. And maybe people haven't listened to those other podcasts, so they wouldn't know.
No.
They'll think you're original and funny when
exactly.
Really you're just
How
a
are
hack.
Your other terrible podcasts going?
Okay. They're kind of in hiatus at the moment for various reasons. You know, holidays and stuff.
How many Grapevine episodes have there been?
4, I think. Or maybe 5. Why do you ask me these questions? I can't remember. I can't remember how many episodes we've had.
Please. Is there a kind of question I could ask you that wouldn't fall into that category?
No.
Except that one. Because you knew the answer to that right away.
Well, but I could be wrong. Maybe I answered it too fast. I often do that. Answer when... I've explained this before. My memory is divided into like 5 different parts, and one of them who thinks he knows the answer says, oh, yeah, I know the answer right away, and then the other ones catch up and say, no, you don't. You don't know what you're talking about. Why did you say that? And I have to correct myself and have these conversations with myself, as you've pointed out on numerous occasions.
Yes. So, anyway, you still haven't seen the 50th anniversary Doctor Who?
No.
All right, I'm going to try and make that happen.
Okay. Thank you. That would be very
have
nice.
Have you seen The Night of the Doctor?
I thought that's what it was.
No, Day of the Doctor is the 50th anniversary.
I haven't seen anything.
Night of the Doctor is a 6-minute and 33-second YouTube video that BBC made that could be argued to take place between the made-for-TV movie on Fox of Doctor Who and Day of the Doctor.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it.
You should check it out. It's kind of cool, but it's very short. There's also a thing called The Five-ish Doctors that BBC put out that's about a half hour long that is the story of the 5 surviving actors who played Doctor Who before the reboot and their quest to try and get into the 50th anniversary special. And it's apparently quite funny. I have yet to watch that. But the others, good.
Okay.
Do that. Also, there's a trailer out for the Christmas special, which is where the change will happen.
Yeah.
It's very short. Getting excited. I'm a little sad, though, because apparently they won't break the season up into 2, which is good, like they did before. But the season's not going to start till like, August.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, we got time to kill. I'm very excited about Peter Capaldi.
I know, you've said that.
Yes.
You're a fan.
I am.
A windy fan, apparently.
We got like 2 minutes left, so I'm just killing time.
Don't want to draw another question.
The two minutes? No.
Well, the 2 questions we've drawn were like, give an answer, move on. But you're right.
Yeah,
we probably
then
shouldn't.
We're going to draw what is art.
I know.
And that'll be terrible.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. Well, right. Thanks, Mark, and whoever the other person was.
Mark and mystery person.
3,000 years old.
So there's a 2,000-year-old man and the 3,000-year-old hat.
Or something. 3,000-year-old... It was a cauldron. That's what it was.
Oh, that's right. It was a bird-killing cauldron.
It didn't kill the bird.
A bird-teleporting cauldron.
Yeah.
They say...
Bird-teleporting cauldron.
Life is like a bird-teleporting cauldron. You never really expect that the bird is going to teleport, and it does. And you're like, what the fuck?
You know that joke? I was going to have a broiler. What?
The 2 muffins in the oven, and one muffin says to the other, is it hot in here, or is it just me? And the other muffin says, holy crap, a talking muffin! There's 2 penguins on an ice floe, and one penguin says to the other, you look like you're wearing a tuxedo. And the other one says, how do you know I'm not?
And how did he know he wasn't?
I don't know. It's a bit from the Prairie Home Companion movie. Hmm. It killed somebody, that joke.
No tie. That's
how
you
tell.
Have you
seen the Prairie Home Companion movie?
Yes. I don't remember very much about it, though.
I'm a big fan of that movie. I don't really understand why, but it was very powerful for me.
Really?
Yeah, I really liked it.
It was.
And I'm not a big Prairie Home Companion guy either. There was something very compelling about it for me.
Okay.
It stuck with me. All right, we're done, people. As you can tell, we gave up a while ago.
Yeah.
So,
sorry. Not enough chocolate, I think.
So.
No, don't. don't. What is the matter with you?
All right. We're going to call it a night, people. Next week, we're going to put in double duty. So, eat your fucking chocolate.
Okay.
Next time.
Well, I did eat chocolate. You gotta be revved up. Maybe not enough chocolate.
More.
And I'm very tired.
Eat
I told you that.
Eat the chocolate you're craving. You know you are. Eat the chocolate.
That's pretty good. You sound a lot like chocolate.
Eat the chocolate.
Shut up.
I think this episode's going to be called I Did Chocolate. It won't be William Did Chocolate, so you're okay. I guess.
What?
I don't know. I figured you'd be weirded out if I called it William Did Chocolate.
Why?
You're always weirded out at every title I have, so.
Okay.
Even Chat Talk. You know, Chat Talk. Got no comments on that, by the way.
Well, what if they ask if we do it in a Chat Talk accent?
Oh.
Now, see, you've already done it. Now I'm going to have to figure it out.
I think that's... It's just NPR voice. It's just Delicious Dish from Saturday Night Live.
I know, but I don't know. Maybe I can do it.
It's the Kinder Gentler podcast. Welcome to Chat Talk.
Yeah.
Little chat, little talk, no big whoop. All right, we got to wrap this up, people. Why are you still here?
Yeah, stop it.
Go away. We'll talk to you next week. Ow!
Next week.
And as you will too. Claws trimmed.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.